This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Quip, Zola, and Literati Books, and we are happy to have them on board.
Yes, we are. I love it when you add words.
I know. I added words to this thing.
She just added
Hi, everybody.
Words. Hi.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Robin.
I'm Jamie. We're your hosts.
Guess what, guys? We've got a new schedule.
We do. It's going to kill us slowly, but we got it.
We think it's exciting.
Yeah.
So as you all know, we've been doing seasons, like a fall season and a spring season, but we are transferring to what they call in the biz, Jamie, as always
Which
on.
Which obviously, I don't know what they say.
It's called always on.
We are always on, you guys.
Yeah. So that means
kill us,
so that we're going to be doing 45 episodes a year.
That's a lot.
It's like an additional 15 episodes. So right. It means we'll be dark basically around the holidays.
So Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So that's next week we will be dark. And that's really why we're telling you. And then two or three weeks around the holidays in December and then sometime in the summer.
Yeah.
But for the most part.
Yeah.
We're not leaving you.
We're not leaving. We're staying. We are never getting rid of us.
You did not ask us to do this, yet we are providing it.
I mean, listen, truth be told, there are really so many stories to be told. And we've heard from a lot of people who want to share their stories.
And we're just passionate about sharing them because we just, you know our mission. Normalize, highlight, celebrate
lift
our families.
Up.
Lifting us up.
We're lifting us up. We're lifting us up one family at a time. That was my Katharine Hepburn.
That was
so bad. No, it would be lifting.
You have to have more of
one family.
If you're doing Catherine Hepburn.
Wait.
Henry, y'all poop.
Oh, that's good. That was good.
I can't do impressions. Yeah. I'm so proud of myself.
I thought we were going to go fishing.
Stop it. Okay. So we do want to say this week in Patreon, we want to thank our three new Patreon members.
Yay, Patreon members.
Emily Maurer.
You tell us how to
Emily,
say it.
Emily, tell us. Send us a voice memo, and we're just going to put in the middle of an episode her going, Emily Moore.
That's probably just how you say it right now.
I know.
There.
I, you know why I wasn't
was
thinking.
Good. Rachel
Widerspiel. And Lisa Jocks.
This happens to be my cousin. Such hard last names.
Well, I know how to say that. She's my cousin.
Because I wouldn't have said it that way.
Thanks
I
for supporting.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
Thank anyway. All three of you, especially my cousin.
I mean, all of them. I mean, all of them, really.
I'm sorry, Emily and Rachel. For those of you, come join us at our Patreon community. We've got all kinds of extra bonus content, like parenting tips, fertility talk, and what do we like to say, Jamie? The general idiocy.
Which is basically pretty, I can't even think of the word. That's us. Yeah.
So head on over to patreon.com/ovariestalk.
All right. So I think we should get to our guests for today.
Oh my God. We have two very special guests.
You know them.
You love them.
They are authors of a book coming out in May of 2020.
And it's about non-traditional families.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. And you know what? They're also two really funny ladies.
And pretty idiotic.
Yeah. And pretty.
Yes, that too.
I mean, and, you know, hopefully Mary's not jealous, but let's get Jamie and Robin in here.
Jamie and Robin, come on in.
Hi.
That was the dumbest intro. Yeah, it's us, guys. It's us because we had something we wanted to talk about.
So we thought we
would do an episode of us talking in your ears as we do.
So the title of this episode is called...
Mm-hmm. Disconnected.
And it's another phases of parenting episode.
Right. And here's the thing. When I came in this afternoon and Robin was like, we're going to record that episode we talked about, you know, the one you said would be a good idea to do something like this. And I was like,
she didn't remember.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Robin.
She wasn't sure.
But I really did have the idea like a week ago, right? Like it wasn't
she
that
did,
long.
She did. We need to give some folks the context about where this episode came out of. And oddly enough, it didn't come out of our personal relationships. It came out of Jamie and I's relationship.
Right. So before we go there, Robin, I want to say this is what makes us work so well is that I forgot all about this idea.
Sorry.
I forgot all about it. And I came in and Robin had it all written out in bullet points about what the episode is, what we had talked about we were going to talk about. And then I was reminded and now I'm back on track. But that's what makes us work. But... In some ways, it can be also very challenging. So go on with what you were saying there, Robin.
Yeah. So I guess if you're drawing a parallel,
right,
when you have a baby as a couple or several babies or a second kid or a third, there's a stress that's put on the relationship. And in our working relationship, the baby is the podcast, right?
So this baby is growing fast.
Yeah. It's growing faster than we can manage in some ways. I mean, all of them positive
it's all great.
Things.
Yeah.
But there's so much, like, I don't think people actually understand, and I don't mean this in like a woe is me thing. Just like how much work goes into the podcast and trying to get it out there and trying to make it successful.
Right.
And, you know, there's stress that comes. And we hit a breaking point, right, where we were both, I don't know.
Burnt out and frustrated with the amount of work and with each other.
Working styles.
Mm-hmm. With our working styles where, you know, we're very opposite. And so, and in many ways, like I said, that works. But sometimes when you're opposite, and a lot of parents go through this too, the one thing that you really fell in love with about the person turns out to be the thing that bothers you the most 10, 15 years down the line, which is so ridiculous, but it happens. So we thought it would be a good idea to open up this episode talking about from a really real raw place where we just were.
Mm-hmm. Because we did spend 3 hours with wine,
crying,
and booze, crying, sometimes yelling, sometimes this, and then sometimes, I was talking.
Let me finish. If you just let me finish my thought. I mean, it was very, very reminiscent of some of the arguments I've had with my wife at home.
Yeah.
And
by the way, parallels to my relationship at home.
Yes, you completely. Know. And what we didn't realize when we went into this whole podcast.
I mean, we should clarify, we barely knew one another.
Right.
I mean, we knew each other to say, like to have a cocktail, to have drinks, to chat at a picnic once a year.
Yeah, we made each other laugh.
Yeah.
We knew we were
She's
both
funny.
Actors.
She seems nice. I like her. She's the kid.
She drinks margaritas too.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Good. Yeah, but we didn't know each other that well.
And this thing just blew up really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And just went and had a life of its own. And
you know, which is great. We're not
No, we're thankful. Yeah, we're
very
thankful.
And we've worked through this, which is also good.
But like pressures bring up triggers, bring up, and then there's baggage and things that like, oh, you always do this, you always do that. And, you know, I thought it was a really great idea. And this is one of the reasons I think that is what makes Jamie and I a great partnership is that she said, we should do this as a podcast. Like literally, I mean, we are still right, like still drinking the wine. We've just got to a point where we're no longer screaming at each other. We're both like, and she's like, we should just, and I was like, yes. And then that night in the middle of the night, I was like, it's called Disconnected. I was like, it's a phases of parenting episode. And I called her and it's like, and that's what we do. Like one person makes an idea and the other person makes it better. And that happens all the time in the creative world.
Really great team. But we got into this not realizing that we were really, in essence, just going into a relationship with each other. And not really prepared for that. And she's not the person I chose to spend the rest of my life with. I mean, I love you, Robin, but like we are going to, you know, like.
At least a while.
Robin.
Yeah.
This just in. Mm-hmm. Quip. Makers of the Quip electric toothbrush want you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It is simply this. That if you have good habits, you are good.
That's so true.
This is what I've been trying to beat into my daughter's head lately. We've been playing this fun game where I tell her to brush her teeth and she tells me she did. But guess what? She didn't.
Oh my God. I know this game well. Oh, and Rose is young. You're just like at the beginning of this. I mean, it's like a never ending struggle. My kids literally, I will say, did you brush your teeth? And they'll be like, totally. And then I'm like, did you really? And they're like, no.
Yeah, at least they admit it.
Yeah. But the truth is that having good dental care means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day, right? And flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. And Quip makes it simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste.
I love it. I am totally a fan of Quip now that I started using one, specifically because Quip's electric toothbrush has these sonic sensitive vibrations with this built-in timer and 30-second pulses.
It's all about the timer, right?
You to a full and even clean, right? Like
especially
so you
for
know
the kids, they know they know how long they should be brushing for. Yes, that's
important.
I do
30 seconds top side, 30 seconds top.
Okay,
side.
We don't need that level of detail. 30 seconds.
Anyway, and the Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. I am always using too much floss.
You,
always.
My kids are like zing, and then like we're out of floss. Yeah. Well, I listen, you know why I love Quip. Delivers fresh brush head, floss, toothpaste refills to my door every 3 months with free shipping.
I know.
Routine's there. It's right. I don't have to shop. We
you
know
hate
this
to
about
shop.
Me.
We all know.
We know this.
And they have a new kids brush, which is the same as their original version. It's just tweaked and sized down for little mouths.
Tiny mouths.
The little mouths.
Love it.
You know, Rose is so excited to use a toothbrush like mine, and she loves it. It's all high tech and vibrates.
My
and,
kids
you know.
Brush so much more now because
they're
using Quip.
It's like
it's
using
for sure.
a toy to brush your teeth, so it's fun.
Yep.
But listen, everybody should join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25.
$25. And listen, and if you go to getquip.com/OCT right now, you're going to get your first refill free.
That's huge.
A deal.
Yeah.
That's your first refill free at getquip.com/OCT.
Spelled GETQUIP.com/OCT.
Get the good habits Quip. Company, Quip.
The good habits company. Something is wrong with you today.
I know. So just like any relationship, we worked through it. We sat in a room, we talked, and we recommitted to one another. And we were like, okay, we have this idea. Let's make this podcast because it is so similar to having kids and having a partnership. And this happened a couple weeks ago, and I have been thinking about it since, like, about the parallels. You know, you mentioned about the thing that you love about the person is the thing that drives you crazy. Mary and I saw a couples therapist at one point, and she said that the people you love push you to your growth edge.
Right.
And she said, and you either will become better people or you will break up.
Right.
And I just couldn't stop thinking about that in relationship to parenting and to what it's like. And I think both of us have had this experience where, like, for me, it happened when we had a second kid. And I want to be really clear because at some point my second is going to be listening to this stuff, that this is not about him. This is not about our relationship being more challenging than our first kid at that time. It's about the fact that there was a two-ness that was going on, that any little change, like sleep habits or harder things, like we crashed. Like, you know, Mary and I were, I wouldn't say barely talking, but like, when could we talk? You know, like trying to put him to bed might be an hour and a half long thing with screaming and maybe punching doors. And then at the end, I remember just sitting on the couch with her crying and being exhausted. And like, you know, maybe the one night you tried to have a date night and go out would be the night that the sleep habit would change and he'd get up at 4.
Yep.
And that has nothing to do with him being a hard kid. That's just babies. And then you were just like, well, fuck it. We're not going on a date. Like, it's just too hard. So I don't know. Am I making sense? Like, the
totally.
The
and then you kind of start disconnecting from each other because there's no time. I'm in this right now because my kids are little. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went through that with our first with bedtime. She was really hard at bedtime. So we started that out even with the first. We were already in a tough place of mm-hmm. having no time to actually just connect with each other when we only had one. And then
I ask you about that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you recognize at that point that you guys were not in the same place, but what superseded it was your need or want to have a second kid? Like, did you ever consider, like, we should probably try to, like, get this together? Or was all the pressure of you guys trying to have a second kid that took so long, did that make it even worse? Like, how did that play out for you?
That's a loaded question. This is what Robin does. Here, back to us. This is what Robin does. Like, she'll send an email with like a million things in it. And I can't even remember the first thing she asked me. So then I have to like go through and it's a whole thing.
Well, go with your gut.
So yeah, no, I'm just kidding. That was just me.
She's not kidding.
I'm not kidding about the emails. I mean, and she'll even say, I know this is a really loaded email. Just bear with me.
By the way, I do want to just say this. Like, I send it an email because I know it's worse when I do it in person. Like, my brain just moves it at a space
fast.
That's like
her brain is on.
It's not better. It's just like I have a
fast.
Million things happening
it's very
at once.
Fast. That's so, why she can't have caffeine.
It's for the best. I don't have any.
Please don't ever have.
Well, I'm having a little right now. So God forbid for the end of this episode.
Go ahead. So it's really hard to answer that actually. Like, I don't know if we realized we were just tired and upset that things were as hard as they were. I don't know if we I don't think we were ever in trouble. We were just exhausted. No, that's not true. We fought a lot too.
I don't know if you can fight when you're exhausted.
On those rough nights when it takes sometimes 2.5 hours, yes, you fight. That happened a lot.
Well, you have to be your best person for the kid.
Right.
So then maybe sometimes you just know that person's not leaving you. So fuck it.
Oh, we ended up you just end up snapping at the other parent all the time. You just snap. And that's what happens. And we're still kind of sometimes there. Although it's not at bedtime when it happens anymore. But like, I think the answer to your question is we were hell bent on having two kids no matter what. So no.
So you didn't take time to be like, let me see. You were just like, no, we're having two kids.
No, I mean, we were trying to work it out while we still went forward with having two kids, but it wasn't going to stop us. And it wasn't going to slow us down. If we weren't there yet, we weren't there yet. But we got there.
Yeah.
You know, we got to a place. That's what happens is you disconnect and then you reconnect somehow. Yeah. And then you disconnect and you reconnect. And the hope is that you never get to a place where you disconnect and you stay disconnected. And I'm realizing now that I have two, and this goes to your point, it's harder mm-hmm. to find time to connect because now it's not just bedtimes. Now it's juggling schedules
mm-hmm.
and taking care of the pickup and the drop off and all the extra things. We were just talking about this and the parent teacher conference and you know, it's after school programs. Yep. So we got to go watch, you know, and so
our parents didn't come to any of this shit. Like it's like if my parents came, like there was maybe one parent teacher conference a year. And if they came to a game, like they'd be like, I'm trying. Like, it's just like, that was it. And it's like, don't you feel like you gotta be at that school every 5 seconds?
Yeah. My mom came to
nice,
like all
but
my
it's
shows.
Too your mom, she could just parent the world.
And she made my dad too. She came to like every performance too. But anyway, so what's happening now for us, it all comes down to scheduling and time and who has more time and whose time is taken up more with whatever task that needs to be done for the kids. And we're getting disconnected in that way.
I'm not challenging you. I'm challenging a notion. Is that a surface level issue? And then what's underneath it is the disconnection is that don't have time together. Because I think we do a really good job, Mary and I, of like not just talking about, we call it the Hoptel because her last name's Littell, I'm Hopkins, so it's the Hoptel Corporation. But we do a good job of when we're together, not just talking about the kids and all of that stuff. And we do once a year, we go away together. But it's like, I feel this pressure of trying to connect in 3 hours. Like uh-huh. There's the babysitter's on the clock, go connect. And it's like, I think that the biggest problem is lack of time. Like when it was just me and Mary, I could luxuriate in her problems. And I her not being a great communicator, I didn't care because I would be like, let's talk about that. But now I'm just like,
there's
now
no time.
I have all this baggage. And not only is there not time, I feel like any flaw that she has, you're breaking my kids, which by the way, P.S., I'm breaking the kids too. I'm not saying that, but these are just like gut instincts or like knee jerk reactions. And then on top of that, I can't even imagine what it would feel like to be with someone who gave you all this space and then took it away. Like I had all the time in the world to listen, to try to help her, to try to coach or whatever, like, or just be there for her. And now I don't.
But it's the same. It goes both ways.
Yes. Yes. I'm calling myself out with that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I am responsible for that. And to me, the opposite side of that is like Mary looked at me like all adoringly. And now I'm like, you don't even like me anymore. Sometimes, right. You know, it's like, and she does, but it's just like, there's that newness that is in the beginning of something, you know, that's just like if you make the parallel to the podcast in the beginning, it was just like, we got our podcast, 100 people listened.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, and now it's just like, no, next thing, cross promotional opportunities.
There's a list.
Yeah, there's, yeah. We got to do this.
We can't do that right now. We can't talk about that right now. Yeah. Let's do this.
Like, and it's just so much business. How are you connecting?
And that's what happens in parenting. There is so much business to take care of. Like, she'll come home from a long day of work and she's got things to tell me about work. And literally when she's like, sometimes when she's telling me something that happened at work and I'm like texting a sitter to make sure they're available for the Tuesday and
you're both talking
next
about work.
Wednesday. And you know, and I'm like taking care of, I'm like, why are you telling, I don't have space in my head right now for your,
I don't care about Lily who sits behind you in the office. Like I don't give two fucks about that, but I used to.
Right. No. And that's the thing. You want to have the time to go into this stuff and connect on that level, but there's really
no time. And I don't think that you can, I'm thinking about this as I say it. So I don't want to be all 100% on it, but I have this feeling like you can't micro connect. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just be like, okay, we have a sitter, we have 3 hours, let's connect. And then you can't go back to just business as usual and expect connection to remain throughout the week. Mm-hmm. But like Mary and I, whenever we, like I started to say, we once a year, we don't have family that can take our kids. We just don't. So we're it. So mm-hmm. if we want someone to take care of our kids, we're paying for it.
Yes.
And that's expensive. It's like at $20 an hour in New York to take care of the two kids, then you're at $100 for, you know, a 5 hour thing. Mm-hmm. And then you got to pay for the thing. Mm-hmm. But we do try once a year. We go away for a weekend. We hire a sitter. We have some like trusted people that we've picked up and we save the money. It's very expensive. So it's like, we're lucky we're able to do that. Pay for it. We go away for a weekend. And every time we're always like, oh, this is great. We get away. Like, and I'm always thrilled that we find each other there.
Because it takes you, literally, it takes you at least 12 to 24 hours just to hash out all the
business. Yeah.
And like, because literally you go out for those dinners or whatever it is. Like we used to have Thursday nights because we had our therapy night. Mm-hmm. So we had a sitter every Thursday and we would go to dinner after therapy and that was our night. Mm-hmm. But we would just talk business. Like, okay, yeah. So we didn't get to talk about Rose has this at school and how are we going to handle that? And so it would be like,
we try not to do that.
But like, that's like, because I don't have I'm one of those migratory people in my job. So
migratory.
Like, is that a word?
I think it is.
It's a good one, right? So I'm always on the move. And so emailing about these things or texting about these things in the middle of the day is sometimes hard. So a lot of times we have to wait till the end of the day when we're face to face and we can really hash things out.
Yep.
So on Thursdays, it would just be the day where we would really just be able to be like, all right, well, this is here. And then once we got through that, we could discuss other things, but you don't always get through it or, you know, and scheduling is always difficult, especially for us. So
by the way, speaking of the parallels, like we've gotten so busy and have taken on all these other in our podcast and all these other like communities and social media that like when Jamie arrives, I'm literally already have some kind of a to-do list up on the screen and there is no time to be like, what'd you do this week? Like it's
no, well, we used to in the very beginning, we get together and we'd like be like, oh my God, guess what Rose just did? And we talk for like an hour before we started. We don't have time for that now.
No, because there's like so many businesses that are being run. I mean, the book took a lot. I think that really
still taking a lot, Robin. I don't know why you're acting like it's done.
It's basically done. Definitely sent us over the edge. And by the way, that's the parallel to the second kid that sent us over the edge.
Right.
Me and Mary. And you know,
now we're ended up, we're like, this podcast is birthing like 10 kids.
17 kids. But so I have this theory and nobody has disputed it yet. So I challenge anyone to dispute it. don't know, that sounded way more aggressive than I meant it to be. What I meant was
a lot
was
of
like,
times it does, Robin.
It says, well,
there we go.
Welcome.
And that's it. There it is.
There it is. Oh, she's not kidding. There it is. There it is.
There it is.
But so, no, what I meant by that was like, I really mean like anybody who's an expert, like, tell me if I'm right or wrong, because it's my theory. Because I like this theory and it makes me feel nice. So I want it to be true. So here's my theory. Okay, it's almost a visual, but my hands are together and it's like they're going forward. And then you have a kid and then all of a sudden your hands start to go out a little bit. And you're like, oh, so you're running like concurrent paths.
Kids are bouncing around between your hands.
Yes, exactly. And it's moving forward and you're moving forward at the same pace, but you're now not next to each other. Something is between it, right? Yes. And then there's a point where your kids get older. So my kids were in different phases. My kids are older. And now it's not such a big deal. If I leave for a weekend or 6 days, you know, I'm not leaving Mary with this horrible situation. She can, for the most part,
they do their
things and someone goes in and does their homework and you just have to kind of manage
them.
They
read in bed.
Henry was reading in bed last night when I came home.
What is that about?
He followed on then. They have their little checklist for the mornings. So it's not this horrible, awful thing, right? But you're far apart, right? And my theory is that there's this age, and I assume it's around where my kids are. Like, and a lot of people get divorced at this age, like when their kids are 7, 8, 9, 10, because you either continue going outward where there's more space between you, or you work and you come back together. And I think there is this, it's now or never thing, where if too much time passes, it's hard to come back.
Well,
now that's not the part that makes me feel good, because that would be dark. The part that makes me feel good is that you can come back if you're aware of it and you work on it, and then you spend more time together and try to appreciate each other throughout the days.
Well, that's that whole like empty nest thing. You know, these parents have been moving in an apartment.
That's the second phase of when people get divorced.
Right, exactly. So
it's they're like, I have nothing to say to you.
And then they realize now the stuff is gone in between the hands and they have no way of bridging the gap.
It's too late. You've already been running these parallel lives where you're doing different things. And like one of the things is I used to bring Mary to absolutely everything. Like right now, like when I was doing plays and I used to produce my own plays and wrote my own show. Mary was my stagehand. Like Mary like did my artwork. She still does all her artwork and stuff. But
poor
you know,
Mary.
It was like we were working together. And now she would still be here. She can't be because someone has to be with the kids.
Right.
It's too expensive for her to be here.
Yeah, we can't do anything together anymore.
So, but now
we have to divide and conquer.
I have built this thing that's on the side and happening somewhat without her. And she has built these friends that she has things that never would have happened before kids.
Right.
And so how do you come back and make sure you're being inclusive of each other?
Right.
And that's why I think there's two phases where this is either you divorce. That's why 7 or 8 or 9 to me is that phase, because that's when they start to become independent and you can start to come back.
Robin, guess what?
What?
My coworker is getting married and she's using this website to register called Zola, which I'm a little bit perturbed, peeved is the right word, because we didn't have this kind of stuff when we were getting married.
We really
especially
did not.
For the gays. Like there was no wedding website.
We were just
for the
like
gays.
Happy someone would marry us.
We were rogue.
But look, now they've got places like Zola Week.
Marry you.
I know. It's true. Thanks, Mary. And now we've got places like Zola. And after you told me about them, I looked them up. They have a million couples who've used Zola.
It's crazy.
And it takes the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, the easiest wedding registry.
Yeah. You start with a free wedding website and it's so easy and it takes just minutes to set up and customize. You build it, right? And Zola is the most helpful wedding registry ever. And they make the process fun and easy.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. It's your wedding. It never is fun, though.
No.
But they're the only place where you can register for honeymoon funds and gift cards along with physical gifts. You can put them all together.
And I noticed that their prices are really friendly, too. I mean, like, look, wedding paper shouldn't blow your budget.
It's paper.
Especially when you've got to, like, save up for your LGBTQ family, we all know that it's expensive.
True that.
And so it's easy to build your whole suite at Zola from, say, the dates and invites to Day of Paper and thank you cards. And they carry all your favorite brands from Cuisinart to Brooklinen and Airbnb. I
love me some Airbnb.
Right? And everybody loves their free shipping and smart returns, price matching, group gifting. So amazing.
It's really great. I love this.
Yeah.
I want to get married again.
Yeah, let's do it.
You guys should build your free wedding website on Zola and get $50 toward your registry. I mean, that's like a whole toaster oven. Yes, there's your gay toaster oven.
Your ding ding, you're gay. Here's your toaster oven.
So go to zola.com/OCT and get started today.
Build your free wedding website on Zola and get $50 towards your registry. You go to zola.com/OCT and get started today. That's zola.com/OCT.
Go get that toaster. So, but then I want to challenge your theory here. I see your theory. I agree with your theory. I was just reading through our book, our manuscript, you know, mm-hmm. doing our edits and reading all the couples who had been divorced and, you know, all the different mm-hmm. families we have, thinking about, God, divorce. Do I have to worry about divorce? And do I have to worry about...
By the way, yes. Friends? I think everyone needs to worry about it.
But here's what I was thinking. So, or do I have to worry about friends of my kids that are maybe going to get divorced in the future too? Like, everybody is married at this point.
Yeah.
In my head, it's not an option. So I don't, and you know, I might, you could look back in 10 years and see Jamie C, it was a fucking option because then it happened. But in my head,
you're talking about a state of mind of commitment that you're talking about you're committed to coming back.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean just because you're committing to it not being an option doesn't mean it couldn't happen.
It's true.
Or that you would happy.
I guess nobody comes at this with like divorce as an option, or do they? Do you? Did you? Is divorce an option for you?
No. I am the same way as you that like, this is
but
my person.
But do other people come at this like that? Like divorce is always an out?
I don't know that we're better for that.
No, I'm not saying anybody's...
No, I don't mean it like you do. I'm saying like by this
for
being
better
this,
for worse, yeah, that might not
I
be the best.
Because like I had this one friend from college whose parents got divorced when she was like 35 and she was like the youngest of the kids and it really threw her for a loop and whatever. But the dad, it was like after 9/11 had happened and he was just like, he had this moment where he was just like, I don't want to live my life unhappy.
Right. I get that.
So sometimes I'm like, maybe it's not a better option to do that. I don't think either of us are in that place,
no.
But it's like, I do think you have to have that mindset if you want to come back together.
Right.
Because to me, it's not about staying together. It's about, I want us to be happy.
Right. Well, and that's where if we take it back to our relationship and the podcast, mm-hmm. we were both kind of in a not so great place a couple weeks ago. Like we were worried. We weren't sure we could continue.
And there was a moment where we were like, are we divorcing?
Yeah. It was kind of like, oh my God, are we going to divorce? Which we would never leave you guys.
I don't know
why we would ever think that. But,
well, but in stressful moments, you just start to go, what am I doing? You
right.
know? And by the way, like
I've never gotten there with my wife, but who knows? That could happen.
Yeah.
And as we go further.
Well, to bring it around
to too heavy, Robin.
No, well, that's what I was going to say. No, but it's honest, and I want to say that I was thinking the same thing, but not in a different way. I think we should bring it back to. I think the thing that we're both saying is that if you are committed and you want to be connected versus disconnecting, you can be. Right. And but I do think there is an underlying not give up. But then there's like, okay, what are our tools? Like how do we come back around? Like obviously couples. You know, couples therapy.
Couples therapy is like the obvious one to go to. And we even decided, you and I, we're going to try to find somebody that we can talk to every once in a while. Just
like a mediator.
When we have our differences. And I think that's a healthy option and a healthy choice.
I didn't have good communication growing up. Like I had a lot of screaming, a lot of slamming of doors, and then drunk people. So I think, like you do. But so I think that's important. Like, you know, like I'm watching one of my kids right now struggle a little bit with like emotions. And my whole thinking is I want to give tools to help so that you can communicate better. And I think that's important. And I think you can come back, but I think you have to find the spark and the joy and the love of the family and love of each other. And I also think that somebody told me this, some friends, parents who've been together for like, I don't know, like 50 years. And they were saying that the marriage has to be the foundation for everything. The marriage has to, in a way, and I've thought about this for years because I'm like, God, that's like either revolutionary or scary, but the marriage has to be more important than the kids in some ways because it's the foundation that the whole family's built on.
Well, yeah. And
I don't know how
you
think
touched
about that.
On this earlier, like the spark doesn't last forever. The spark is, everybody knows who's been in a long-term relationship, that spark goes away and you spend the rest of that relationship trying to find that spark again. And sometimes you find it.
Yeah.
Right. But we're always searching for the spark. It's there. If it was there at one time, at least you know you can get it back, which is great.
I had a friend who described the long-term relationship as, how did she say this? And I think I'm going to fuck it up. Like when you've been together for a long period of time, it's, she kept saying a bouillie base. I don't know what that, like some
bouillie base,
of,
yes.
Like, cooking. Like it's like a marinade that like everything has been together and it's been soaking and it's been all like drenched and it's intertwined and it's together and it's thicker and it's deeper and it's richer. And it's just better. Like when it's hot and fresh and like new, that's all great too. But this is like a deeper, longer thing. And I was like, all right, I'm going to hold on to that.
We're really stewing.
We're like a stew.
We're like,
I mean, I guess really, for that analogy, you have to like stew, but.
I love stew. I love all soup. So that works for me.
I don't love soup.
You don't love soup?
I don't like hot food.
You don't want to come to my dinner because I make soup like it's my job. Me and that Instapot,
I mean, I'll have some soup,
BFFs.
But my kids won't eat soup.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. You're supposed to laugh at me. That's the point.
I am laughing at you. I was trying to be respectful while
take
I laughed
a look.
At you.
No, just laugh. It's funny. In a book. Should we keep it? Should we keep that? Reading Rainbow.
Okay. All right. Reading Rainbow. My God, you're hilarious. But I do have to say, you know, not to get all like old pants, but it's such a different world.
Yeah.
I mean, our kids are like turning into vegetables with all the toxic screen culture out there. I mean, why can't they just like
YouTube.
Be shows like Reading Rainbow?
I know.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I know. But you know what? I know what you can do.
What?
You can redirect them from shows with the content you can't control to literature that will enrich them. With literati.
Literati has won you over too, haven't they, Jamie?
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know out there, Literati is the subscription book club that makes it easy to find unique and interesting books for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So Literati mails 5 teacher-approved books to your child every month. And listen, Rose loved her first box. We started reading the books right away. And get this, Robin, mm-hmm. she actually read them to me without me forcing her to. That's
My kids were fighting over the books in the box.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. I think the magic behind this is that each Literati box contains 5 age-appropriate mm-hmm. books based on a theme, like the spirit of adventure or the animal kingdom. And luckily for me, our first theme was the animal kingdom, and Rose is just obsessed with books about animals. So it was just a big win for
yeah.
us.
And yeah. you know what I love about Literati is that each month a new box is coming, and mm-hmm. there's no more guessing or searching. Or the big thing is reading the same books over and over. Maxine will keep reading the same books. And so now we've always got something new to read, and a personal note comes in the box, yeah. and we don't have to like go to the overwhelming library to try to find something.
Yeah, yeah. We ended up keeping every book, actually.
Mm-hmm. We did too.
But you don't have to. You can buy the books you want and return the rest, and it's easy and free.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jamie, I think we should, like, let's get these kids off the technology, off yes. the YouTube, off the Fortnite. Yes. And all you got to do is for a limited time, you can go to literatibooks.com and use a promo code OVARIES for $20 off your first box.
Amazing.
Plus, kids 3 and up get a special black light pen.
Who doesn't
oh my
want
God.
That?
Who I want one of those. my kid 3 and up. This is their best offer available anywhere. So to get it, you have to go to literatibooks.com, promo code OVARIES for $20 off your first box, plus a free black light pen for kids 3 and up.
Yeah.
And Jamie and Robin.
Yeah. Literatibooks.com, promo code OVARIES, OVARIES, in case you don't know how to spell it, because a lot of us don't actually.
I spell it wrong all the time.
You know, like I think about my parents. My parents were married. They made it to, I say 50 years. My mom is upset they didn't make it exactly to 50 years because my dad died right before 50. But they
let's
made
call it,
it
50.
They made it to 50 years. They stayed married the
we'll
whole
round
time.
Up.
But anyway, like there was a moment where I was thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Not
so they
make
went
it.
Through that phase. Mm-hmm. And they reconnected and they got even stronger after that. And they started taking up dance. They went swing dancing Aww. Every night. It was really cute. And they had this whole new.
Because they connected again.
They reconnected after yeah. this incident that they had. It's not but, my business to tell the incident.
Now all I want to know is the incident, but that's fine.
My mom is like, why are you airing this at all?
You know, she's like, shut up about the incident.
But they reconnected and then they were like dancing every night. And, you know, so they had this whole. And it's really sweet, but it's a testament to how you have to find the ways to connect. My dad never danced. He didn't want to dance. It was a whole thing.
A man-woman thing all the time. You never dance with me at weddings.
That's me and Anne. Yeah. You get to dance with me. She'll dance with me now. It's really great. soon we're going to take some swing dancing lessons.
Oh my God. You know what though? I think that there is something healthy about recognizing that something is breakable, right? Like let's say you got a glass vase and you don't know it's breakable and you just jam it in your bag and then you get on the subway and you lean on it. It's going to crack. It's going to break. But you didn't know. Like you, if you know it's breakable, then you're going to take care of it and you're going to wrap it in a bubble wrap. I'm really deep in on this,
you're really
analogy.
Into the analogies a lot.
I know,
today.
But the today I'm always,
and the
but
vase.
Like if you, but you were going to take care of it and you're going to like treasure it in a way so that it doesn't just shatter. And you have to know that something is breakable to take care of it.
Sure. And so in that respect, me saying before that, you know, like it's not an option for me. It is important to realize that it is breakable. It definitely is. And it's work. It's constant work.
It is. And some of it too is the work of the kids. You know, not some of it, a lot of it.
When you add kids to the mix, it gets complicated.
It's just there's less time for you to be and do the things that you could do before. And that includes just connecting, that includes fixing things, that include like it's just everything has to go to a shorthand. Everything has to go to you got this, I got that. And it just becomes like you're like football coaches. Yeah.
It's just tag teaming. It's well, they came in, they fixed the leak in the bathroom today. Yeah. I don't know the verdict of that. I still have to connect with her on we need to reach out to the super to find out if that leak got corrected and how much we owe the super. And you know, it's like all there's like a checklist in my mind of all the things I need to talk to Anne about when I see her.
Yes. And then during that time, there's no connecting. And then you're like, I'm exhausted. I want to go to bed now.
Yeah. I'm tired. I mean, it's like, do you want to watch This Is Us? I don't know. I don't think I can handle it.
I don't want to cry right now. I can't tell you the number of times when Mary has said, I didn't know that you spoke in front of the Belgian, you know, council. I spoke in front of some Belgian council yesterday. And she was just like, what was that?
I didn't know that, Robin.
I know. And it was about podcasting, Jamie. You should know that.
I should. What do you do? You see?
See, I got invited.
Disconnecting already.
But it's like, there's too much. Who has time to fill you? And it's like, you almost have to just allow that. We're not going to know every single thing. But like, I'm going to tell you like the important things. And then I almost like want to suggest like an egg timer. Like, okay, speed update about what's going on with you. Go. Like the business. And
like,
then boom, we're only talking personal.
Yeah, you only get this amount of time.
And then, but like, yeah, because otherwise I fear that the time when the kids aren't there, we're going to just end up talking about business.
It's
and whether
business.
Your job or my job or, and not talking about I don't just
what
like
is the
what
stuff
do you,
that matters though. What do you need to?
Sometimes it's like making fun of something.
Well, that's what we end up doing is being like, oh my God, this guy on the train today, you know? Or
By the way, just made me laugh immediately.
I know.
That's already connection.
See, my day in Starbucks, I could tell you all about I had to work in Starbucks all morning and it's always riddled with all kinds of drama that happens in the Starbucks.
I'm just like, what the fuck did we talk about before we had kids?
I guess stuff like that. But the thing is, like, I'll go through my day today thinking, oh my God, I can't wait to tell Anne about that, those two guys at Starbucks, because it was like a funny thing that happened. And then I finally get in, like, kids are put to bed, the dog is walked, I'm finally coming in from walking the dog, I sit down, and in my head I go, I'm not.
It's too much, you're too tired.
I'm not going into it because it's going to be too much mental work to retell the story and to answer the questions about the story. Like literally.
But you're laughing even just referencing the story.
Right.
Which tells me that's what you need to be doing.
But there are many times when I sit down on the couch and I say, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not talking about it. Like I had big news to eat. It's for everyone though. I don't want to talk to anybody. Like,
oh no, that's
my
by
mom,
the way.
You know, like
by
I call my mom on the dog walk and I have really big news to tell her. Some really amazing news. And I didn't tell her because I just couldn't get into it. I'm sorry, Mom. You'll know tonight. Don't worry about it. But like, I just couldn't get into it because she's going to have all these questions. And then I just wanted to go home and I wanted to sit on the couch.
We want escapism. Like, I want to go home and I want to lay down. And I'm not necessarily going to bed, but I want to put on an audiobook or a podcast. And then I want to play like Candy Crush while I'm doing it because I just want everything quiet in my head.
Yeah.
But okay. So the
things we need to do. So that's, we just unearthed something. Those are the things we need to do. Those little stories from our day we need to tell. Well, not work story. Well, it is work story,
no,
but like.
No, but I want to say, let's go bigger than that. Let's turn this right now, Jamie. But what I'm going to say is let's talk about five things we could hold ourselves accountable to, whether it be in our relationships that we can do that have worked or that we would like to try to reconnect. No. Okay. All right. One, couples therapy.
couples therapy.
So that's an option. That's an option. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be like that. We're committing to this right now. But these are the things that have worked or could work.
Putting some tools in the tool bag, so to speak.
It's a box. It's not bad.
My dad was a contractor.
You're like a bad gay right now. okay. So you could do couples therapy. Another thing could be like the egg timer thing of like, we've got 5 minutes to discuss whether it be our kids or our days at work. And then after that, we've got to talk for at least 20 minutes about
sometimes,
just like some bullshittery.
Wait, before we do that, sometimes it's fun to talk about your kids. Like for instance.
Then it has to be making fun of your kids. Or,
well, okay, so
I love a good story of making fun of my kids.
No, because sometimes you can connect by being like, oh my God, did you see that video of Rose? Because like last night, Rose did this whole lip sync to her favorite song and it was very dramatic.
TikTok.
Oh my God, it's amazing. And that was a fun connecting moment because it's hilarious. Right. And we watched it together. We laughed. So that's connection. So some talking about kids is connection.
So what if it's you are your own judge? You know, like you just said, you know when you're avoiding being real with a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know when you don't want to talk to your mom, you're just like, no, I want to. You know when you're doing escapism. So there's needs to be some commitment to being like, I'm going to be present, God, for even 20 minutes.
It's really hard.
Fucking hard.
Sometimes it's really hard when you're tired. And parents really know that exhaustion.
Well, okay, wait. We need to come up with like, hot. We need to come up with like two more. So heat on. We need to come up with like two more to wrap the episode up.
I need my ember.
Oh my God. I fucking love the ember. Listen, check out last week's episode for your ember code, guys.
Oh yeah.
I love it. Anyway.
Ember code.
All right. We need like another thing that I think we can all do. I don't know. I think honestly, awareness is a huge tool. I think awareness, just being aware that you're in this position and recommitting, like recommitting to trying to connect and to finding like, just looking at your person.
I think being present.
Yeah.
Being present. Don't zone out.
Yeah. And sometimes that means like you got to take care of yourself so that you can be a present to your person.
Or,
like, are you
how about
meditating?
Just,
are you working out?
Or how about just a little physical touch?
Mm-hmm.
How about just like,
I know how many times is just like, bye, I'm leaving for work. And there's no,
right,
yeah.
Right. We try to kiss when we leave and there's a couple of reasons why we try to do that. And Anne actually does a way better job of doing it than I do. Cause when I'm up in it or I'm pissed off, I don't want to kiss her goodbye. But we do it, A, to connect physically. B, to show the kids us connecting.
Model relationship, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise they're never going to see us.
We had a couples lady who was like, put pictures like on your nightstand, like where you see them of you in happy days. And we have one in the kitchen on the counter, one on the door. And so
in happy days, not now.
I didn't mean it like that, but I could see how that came out.
That's tense.
But I meant like, you know.
That's where
baby,
we were happy.
Baby,
kids.
I love you. Baby, I love you so much.
No, because it's hard.
No,
that's
but like putting those pictures there to remind you of like, remember that moment? And so we have like 3 or 4 pictures around and just looking at them.
We have those around the house. It wasn't conscious, but it does. I do look at those and think fondly of those days. But like, you know, it's really, when you have kids, it is also very important to show them physical contact, healthy physical contact.
Sure.
But what I meant when I said, how about just touching is like, for Anne and I, we decompress by watching a program together and we watch it together. We do it together. However, we might be on the opposite sides of the couch and talk during commercials, which you don't always get commercials anymore because we're streaming everything.
How much difference if you just like laid and put your head on her lap
or
something?
Put my foot on. I was thinking putting my foot on her thigh.
Something. When we drive, I like to tuck my hand under Mary's leg in the passenger seat. It just makes me feel safe.
That's nice.
But I don't do it enough.
Anne does a better job than I do at just reaching out and touching.
Yeah.
And Anne makes a good point of actually all she does this a lot too. She'll just say, hey, Rose, I love you.
Yeah.
Hey, mama, I love you.
I have any issues with
too.
The kids. I do that 24/7.
No, but to extend it to the entire family, like just a reminder, I love you. You're really awesome.
Yeah.
But I think also just the physical contact, because for me personally, I realize I can go a couple days without really even connecting physically.
Because we're so busy.
Right.
We're doing our things.
So a little touch.
All right, here's what I say. I say, let's have this episode be.
Should we touch right now?
No, Jamie. We should definitely not touch. So fucking weird. By the way, we're totally doing the thing that reconnects people, laughing.
Yeah.
talking and, connecting. And you know, Jamie and I have not done this in a while. An episode. This is stop it! Don't touch me.
Reaching out and touching. I don't want to touch you. It's okay.
No, but we have like spent this entire episode like looking at each other, and we usually are looking at our guests. And I think that has is like these are all things that are important. Is like. Like, look at the person, talk to the person, be with the person. And you're dead right about, like, whether it's us or me and Mary, like, about, like, I come in and I am on my checklist. Mm-hmm. The difference between when we started this episode and where we are now is night and day.
True.
And I think that's what we got to take
more
home.
Relaxed.
But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to, let's, final thoughts, right? My final thought is awareness and then commitment and action. So, like, aware that there's an issue. You can't fucking lie to yourself.
Right.
Like we're not, like we're missing each other right now. And like saying that out loud to yourself, to your partner, then a commitment to like, I want to come back. And then some action items. I think that it's like every day, every moment, every second is a new opportunity to recommit, to reconnect if you choose.
So I just had this mental image when you were saying that of like, for me, really, physical contact is really like the icebreaker for me. And I am,
so interesting.
I had this like this image in my head of basically a huge glacier growing between Anne and I.
Mm.
And the physical contact for me
melts
is the thing that melts that glacier, and it gives me connection.
That's such a talk about imagery. That's great.
Right? So and the less I connect with her physically or laugh.
Yeah.
Laughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that to melt the glacier between the two of you when you have two kids, yes, talking to someone else, a mediator to help you through the tough times, but also just in the day to day, like you said, be present with each other, make a commitment to being present with each other for at least even like, like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes, like commit to 5 minutes of presence
minutes
with each other.
Makes a huge difference.
Like five or... How about, what if I were to say like three touches throughout the entire
day? I'm so immature.
But like a kiss goodbye in the morning, a kiss hello when she comes home.
Yeah, a hug here and there.
A hug here and there or just a squeeze.
Don't squeeze me.
A squeeze. But. You know, to commit to just what if that is all it takes to melt that glacier between you?
Yeah.
Melt the iceberg. Bing. Let it go.
Oh, Jamie.
I know. I just put that in everyone's head and they all hate me now.
Jamie, how do you feel?
I feel really good. Relaxed.
I do too. I feel 100 times better than we started this episode.
I feel motivated to go.
I'm going
to
go home and do
touch
better.
My
All right. Well, listen, guys, thanks for coming on the journey with us. That was actually really fun.
Actually listen to the whole. Well, hopefully you're motivated to go connect with your spouse.
Or just maybe you feel like you're not alone. It's hard.
It's really hard.
It's anything after 6 months is hard, period.
It's just,
end of conversation.
I was just thinking about that on my walk to Starbucks this morning. That time with the baby is so precious and sweet.
Yeah,
and then
so
they
fast.
Start walking and it's not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it has its moments, but
it's just different.
Hard.
It's different. All right. Well, let's transition. Before we go, we really want to acknowledge something that the 20th of November, which is in a couple of days.
So Ryan's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Orion.
It's that. And it's also.
It's Transgender Day of Remembrance. And we just, for those of you who aren't aware what that is it's an annual observance that honors the memory of transgender people whose lives were lost in acts of anti-transgender violence that year.
Especially important right now
because
rising, these acts of violence.
Yeah. And so we thought it would be really nice to maybe like take a moment of silence to honor the folks who are victims of violence this year. So we're just going to take a couple seconds of silence and just everybody, you know, can think about folks that they may know or who are victims. Okay.
Thanks for going with that with us.
Yes. So we're wrapping up and we just want to say like this was a lot and this was a really, really personal episode for us. So Yeah, it was.
We're not leaving you guys, though.
I know. So. No, no, no. We're fine.
We thought it was very important to just
I feel like we just talk to our
this.
Children. I mean, sometimes parents have problems.
We thought it was important to share this and just be raw and real with you guys.
And if you have stories or you want to
talk
or
about
tools. It. Yes. Oh, my God. Get on our social media and talk about it with us. Like, let's start a conversation. Especially on Facebook, where we have that community where, like, listeners are there and talking, and it seems to be a vibrant community. So on Facebook or on Twitter, ovaries, which is we're at ovaries talk, and on Insta, we're ovaries_talk on Insta. So thank you to our listeners first and foremost.
And thanks to our sponsors, Quip, Zola, and Literati Books. We couldn't do it without you guys. Thanks.
And
thanks for listening to our dumb ovaries.
Eggs.
We're so silly. Ovaries.
Out.
If our ovaries could talk, they would say, ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.